because he's...
Hello. Oh,
hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
You're having a little meeting, which is good.
A meeting before the meeting, right?
A meeting before, take advantage of every minute, right?
Yep.
Why not? Hey, not to interrupt you, Rob, but to Melissa and Tom, what if I just told him, what if I ask his thoughts? We go from there.
Yeah, that's fine. Wherever he went, wherever he's comfortable, yeah. Especially since
he's
having
absolutely.
Surgery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say,
We're talking about additional teaming opportunities, Rob. That's what we're just trying to nail down the calendar.
Awesome.
Any thoughts on
the calendar in the Corona world?
To meet.
Yeah, it's a little different, isn't it? Huh?
Yes, it is.
Well, and everybody's comfort level is different too with all of it. So,
and the offices aren't fully opened. So, you got to be pre-cleared to go in, and then you got to go through the checklist. So if one of the group isn't pre-cleared to go in, you can't really have the meeting in the office. You got to find an alternate location. So we're working through it.
Good.
All right.
All right.
We're ready.
Done with that. Yep, we're ready.
So what's on your mind this wonderful now September day?
Yeah. Well, our biggest thing, I think, since we talked to you last, is really coming back to processes and organization as it relates to, I think, and I'll let Melissa speak on this a little more, but as it relates to just all of the balls we have in the air and making sure that we're, because we're still all working remotely, try and keep it all together. So we're just sort of coming back to some things that we started to incorporate in the office before we left, you know, as it relates to reviewing certain things like estates, for instance. So that's been our sort of renewed focus here in the last week and a half, as everybody got back from vacations and whatnot, is just trying to put more hard and fast processes down so that we're feeling more in control of everything versus being reactive. You know, because I think we had, you know, with different people being out over the last couple of weeks and things, we've had some moments that felt that way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Is that process in terms of client contact or process in terms of execution?
Both. I think, you know, with the size of our book, we have a lot of moving parts. So it is a different environment in the remote setting because we're not all in the office beside each other. So things happen and we might find out about it after the fact. So we're just trying to reorganize our team and our sales assistants, make sure we're hitting on all cylinders with that. But client contact is making sure we're doing the service calls. Our top clients, and we did get, you know, fully on the Supernova process. The meeting thing is kind of up in the air, depending on the client's preference, but we're just trying to get back on track, especially before the election, to try to get a full review with the clients that we need to. So I think it's a combination of all.
When will you be back in the office?
We're not sure. we're really not 100% sure. Right, Tom? Nothing was mentioned on our call the other day, correct?
No, they opened it up that if you're you got the pre-clearance for certain employees, you're allowed to go back in. Of course, we got to do like the 5 questions every morning, take our temperature and say we haven't been around anybody that has COVID. But we're not allowed to meet with clients in the office. And there was no discussion of that because I think they're not going to allow that until they fully open the offices and not everybody's allowed to be back in there yet. So the solution was for our office, hey, if you want to meet at the office, there's a picnic table set up out back and you can meet your folks there. That's what the attorney's office is doing. And I was like, no, we'll probably not be with our clients at the picnic table out back. So our alternate is you know, we're going the way of the old, you know, the old doctors, right? Like what location works best for you? I'm happy to make a house call, and especially for those, top tier clients that are getting a little nervous about where we're at election wise. We're just going to have to, and it's time consuming because of where we live. Some of those folks are, an hour drive to get to, but we're just trying to make sure we're getting in front of them, set the stage and have that reassurance. Cause as I was, I mean, kind of telling this to clients anyways, and then I was on a conference call earlier for the region, and our, one of our political folks were saying it and reaffirmed what I was looking at. That gentleman said, it's definitely not election day. It's probably election weeks at best. And so trying to prepare folks for that idea, get in front of them. But it makes it difficult not being in the office and not being able to do face-to-face. We're just going to have to travel, restaurants, at their house, whatever, get in front of them as best we can.
If they're comfortable with phone and a Zoom meeting, that's the approach that we are taking. But the majority of our clients do like that face-to-face, in-person meeting, especially when they're doing a full portfolio review. So, it, you know, like Tom said, it's just been a little bit challenging based on drive times for everyone. That's more time out of the office, more coverage than the others have to make sure, you know, we're there. So it's been a little bit of a juggling act recently. So,
all right. I'm kind of, leaning towards productivity versus personal contact till we're past all this. So if you can talk them into a Zoom call, I think it's a brilliant idea. I just really think the leverage of keeping on a, you know, on a schedule, it sounds to me like you guys are going overboard. Okay. Unless the client's at risk or unless you think, I mean, I just don't understand why you need to go to their house, and why they need to come to the office during this time. I think if you can do a Zoom call, it really works. And you can, you know, put up the performance numbers right on the screen. It's pretty effective. It sounds to me in the middle of all the chaos, you're just adding more chaos.
Not necessarily us that's adding the factor in, because there's a lot of folks that are comfortable with that, but there are certain clients that are at a point where they're saying they're used to the face-to-face meetings. Hey, when can we get together? Yeah. I really want to sit down with you. You know, just whatever their comfort level is. I want to sit down with you before the election comes. And, you know, they want to see us. Certain, I mean, it's not everybody. It's not like we're going to, like, drive around and go see 100 people.
Yeah.
But there are certain folks that are, there are certain folks in that I'd say, I'm not sure we're going to get too far out of the top 20 there, but there are certain folks on that high end that are used to seeing people face to face. And, like, one of them just called me, and he's worried about the election. And at the same time, he says, okay, yeah, and I got $700,000. We just sold our condo at the beach. Where do you want to put that on top of what we have? Well, hey, where do you want me to meet you? Like, you want to see me face to face, and you're about to give me a $700,000 check? Like, name the spot I'm coming to see it. You're not happy with the markets, and you want to see me face to face at the same time. You know, for certain folks, and it's not everybody, but for certain folks, we're going to have to go out and get in front of them.
Yeah, that's fine. That's money.
Yeah.
Especially
since we're a little bit over a year from Rob's retirement, but we're still hearing from maybe our bottom of the book, you're not calling me enough. Rob used to call me all the time. You know what I mean? So we're still trying to make sure we're doing all the right things to keep our top A clients happy. We do approach, hey, can we do a phone review meeting? Do you have online? You can pull up your online if you're not comfortable with a Zoom. We can talk about it over the phone. Next option would be a Zoom meeting. And then if they're against all of that, that's when we're saying, hey, would you prefer in person? Unfortunately, we're not in the office. Let's talk about where we can meet.
And
it's like
bottom,
Tom said, we're still in this.
The folks that are in, Melissa, hold on a second. When Melissa says bottom of the book, she's talking about the folks that are in supernova purgatory. people that aren't going to be long-term clients. But we can't risk not having contact with them, so we have them on a reduced schedule.
Yes, earmarked, ready to go when somebody says, "Hey, here's the person."
Now this is sort of not able to segment. I think that's
what we just said there too. As I think we've expressed to you in previous calls, I think that's the reality of, you know, where we're at. And I think some of our process issues, and because we have a case right now going on with a lady who's got $20,000 with us. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much time has been spent in the last month.
Too much.
Trying to get something done for her that, you know, all along we didn't think was necessarily possible. But it got pushed up into, you know, the potential for complaint. It got legal review. You know, yes, we can do it. This is how we do it. We had to jump through 17 hoops. And then, you know, we went to actually start doing what we were going to do today. And, you know, the system won't let us. So, you know, Wendy's spending, I don't know how much time she spent already today on this particular person, and going back to the entire beginning of this and cutting our book down and segmenting and doing all those things, you know, we've not been able to give this client away who we would have given away day one. and here we are now, you know, 9 months into this program. And a situation like this is creating, you know, just chaos. And at the same time, you know, we have all of the things that we should be focusing on that we're not, because we're trying to deal with, you know, somebody that should not be in our business anyhow. And mm-hmm. I think, Rob, that's where, you know, and I've probably expressed this before, that's where I think our frustration is with where we're at with the program. It's not so much the program, it's the fact that, you know, the confines in which this program operates, we were never able to, even though we asked a million times, how do we do this? And it's fallen on deaf ears, and here we are, you know, trying to still, you know, motor through this client. You know, we had another situation last week with a client that's, you know, $1.5 million in assets. His T12 is $900, and that's after we did maybe got a trade in. You know, he's transactional. You know, he's the client that Melissa's talking about. He's complaining that we don't call him every month, but when you do call him, he's complaining about it last year
and four times this year, Rob. So
right,
you know, and I don't want Mike. I mean, I know we've talked several times through this process about how many clients we have, and we have this many to get rid of, and we have no one to give them to. And we know that that's an opportunity for our book, but it didn't allow us to stop doing the Supernova process, because we are reaching out. We got our A clients and our top clients on a monthly check-in, quarterly reviews, you know, whatever. But then these are the roadblocks that take our time, and it's a huge liability for our team. So while we are trying to gather our assets and grow our book and make sure, you know, we're doing that with the Rob clients that he did not do. Unfortunately, we have these bottom clients that are taking up time, and we have to service them. So
right, because we're their advisor.
There's no hope in sight as far as you guys are concerned. There's not like
what's that.
No,
not at this moment. There's no hope that we have anybody to give anybody to. What we are trying to do is take advantage of times where we can encourage the clients to take their account. You know, if they are receiving fees on the account, maybe they call in for a distribution. So we are taking a look at the bottom half of, you know, our book that we do have earmarked, and trying to take opportunities of saying, well, maybe there's, you know, another fit, or maybe there's another option. But no, there's
coach
no hope at this moment in time for us to say, hey, new advisor, here's 250 accounts to relieve some pressure off of our book. In the call center, we can't send them to because it's a strict guidelines of accounts that they will take. We just can't send them to the call center, like, easy. So anybody we could send to the call center, we sent to the call center. But they have strict guidelines, and we're just not able to send anybody.
So this woman you couldn't have sent to the call center because she had an annuity, or what was the problem?
She had a simple IRA.
Simple IRA.
Yeah, simple IRA. She had a simple IRA. Yep.
That's insane.
Yes, that's what we're saying too, Rob. But we're
we still have to deal, like Melissa said, you know, we have to deal, you know, we're the advisors, we're holding the liability. We tried to get our bosses involved, you know, like, hey, listen, this is a bad situation, because, you know, Tom had multiple conversations with her, and it was like she never had them, you know, even though we documented everything, like the whole deal. Follow up the emails. She doesn't answer her phone. I mean, it's a train. She's a flake. I mean, like, look it up in the dictionary, you know. I will tell you, I met with a prospect within this last month that was a $3 million prospect. And I think because of this program, you know, a bunch of flags rose when I met with her. And I advised her not to come with us after meeting with her, because the entire meeting was focused on fees, performance. She had zero wishes to do any planning, even estate planning. She talked about moving different advisors a bunch of times. Yeah. She had been with Morgan Stanley before. Like, her first thing was, I wasn't impressed. So and she was a referral. And, you know, I think she would have been, you know, if I would have said, here, sign here, let's do this, I'm pretty sure, you know, we would have gotten the business, but I don't know that it would have been,
the right
productive
business for our book.
And the right kind of business for our book. So, you know, we talked about it as, you know, as a group, and, you know, I basically advised her, you know, half of her money was at Vanguard, and I told her you should take the rest there, you know. And that was hard. I mean, that's $3 million, you know. I mean, there was at least $1.5 million that we could have gotten today, you know. But I knew it wasn't gonna be what we want, you know. I think what you're hearing is, and this is why we're coming back to processes, because again, while we're trying to focus on the most revenue, profitable, you know, good relationships that we have, we still have way too many accounts. And, you know, this, you know, 6 months, we've had a lot of people die. We've had, you know, not necessarily from COVID, but like just because, you know, nature of things. And, you know, we got a lot of moving parts going on right now. So I think we're all feeling a little testy at times and a little frustrated. And we're just trying to come back to square one with all that, which is good. And I think the last couple of days, I think, you know, we're at least feeling a little better about where we're going. But with that being said, that's kind of all of it at this moment.
What can I do for you?
I guess for me, Rob, I don't know if I haven't seen anything a part of the process, but any organizational tips, maybe from a sales assistant seat. You know, we've talked about checklists and we've started checklists. But you know, that's kind of where we're getting back to process and operations. Cause that's where we're starting to see, you know, like Mike, his example with our client that's taking up a lot of our time. You know, it has taken our sales assistant time and time again, to email our legal team, submit things through, the system, which isn't always user friendly. But anything organizational, that you guys might have, that we could take a look at that might help with our operational process, that would be my ask. And I'm not sure what the guys are thinking on that.
Yeah, it's I'm really a marketing guy.
Yeah. We have things and we have visited and revisited and revisited. So I think we know the ultimate problem.
Yeah. The biggest challenge there is when we were face to face and we had paper, we said, this is the process we want to follow. And now we're not face to face for the last 5.5 months. We've been trying to work electronically, and just to beat up on the estate process a little bit. At one point in time, the question was asked, how many estates do we have open? And no one could answer how many estates we had open, because we get so, busy going in one direction. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute, I just found an estate I didn't even know we had to begin with, because it was given to us because we're licensed in Alabama back in January, and no one's made contact with this person because I didn't know it was in there. So it was like, if we don't know how many estates we have open, that's a problem. So we're trying to do a little bit of a reset on the digital process. But to answer your question, I think, sometimes it's not directly related to Supernova, but I find these calls invaluable on many levels, just because you got a fresh perspective when we call in and say, hey, here's the problems we're working through, and we're able to talk through it, and you see things from a different light. Sometimes we get off the topic of the typical Supernova call, but sometimes if we're working through an issue, it's just nice to have that fresh perspective coming in, somebody who's outside of the chain of command, outside the lines, and can, give us a fresh look.
All right. So here's what I would do if I was facing 6 open estate planning situations. I would treat it as if they were, it was a pipeline of new clients. You just create, if I was in the office, I would create a clear board of, you ever seen a murder board? It's kind of like that.
Oh yeah, with the suspects.
Right. You got the murder board up there, and you just follow it until the murder's solved. So they got the murder board up there in every precinct. The public doesn't see it, but they see it. And so you want to get those murders off of the board. So this case would be the estate planning. You'd want those estate plans done. So you put them up there and hope you get them off of there as soon as possible. So that's kind of what I would do. And if I did it, I'd use an Excel spreadsheet to put them on there. And every time, and that wouldn't be my job. That would be my sales assistant's job, to have them on there until they come off. And I'd have a report in and flash it up on a Zoom call, flash up the murder board, and tell me, what cases do we still have open and why, and how long are they going to get, exactly where they were all the time. That would be her job or his job. And that would be your report. The key is to have everybody know what their roles and responsibilities are. And then do the game board meeting and do the scoreboard meeting. The scoreboard meeting would be this meeting where the brand manager would report in on operations, not just, Supernova operations, but also operations and problem solving. And that would be part of the call. Show me the board until it's fixed. I had to work on operations in 2 different offices. I was the sales manager. You don't need to hear it, but it's a long story. But the point was, I was the sales manager, and until I got the problem solved, I became the operations manager. So I was at the Sears Tower, and I sat in the operations manager's desk and solved problems until problems were solved, and then I could go back to sales. Because you can't sell when your brain is screwed up on operations and people can't get things done. So you've got to get things fixed. And it may not be that bad a deal for you guys, but it was for us. And so when I took over an office at the Merchandise Mart, I had to do the same thing. I fired my ops manager, I went in, sat down, fixed problems until they all got solved. And then I went back to being the manager. You'd think that was a pretty radical move, but let me tell you something. Being an FA, I knew. Don't tell me how great, you know. Don't tell me to go sell until I had to take all the excuses away, right? Because every time I went to talk about increasing sales, they told me how bad operations was. Well, I fixed that and then got a new ops manager, fixed the problems, and then said, okay, now what's your excuse, basically? And they didn't have one. We went to out and started selling. So the game is get the problem solved. You guys don't have to do it, but you want to see it every single week. Every week you want to see that board and you want to see those problems going away. And if you have to, you pick up the phone and fix it. Okay. As a manager, I would ask the guys, please, for God's sakes, don't let anything go more than 10 days. If you do and I find out about it, I'm going to be mad because that's our rule. 10 days, you can't get it fixed. You've gone to everybody. You can't get it fixed. Bring it to me. I'll get it fixed. That's as the office, as the complex manager, because I know it'll screw up a whole team. And that's mm-hmm. not fair to you guys. So anyway, that's what I would do. I would make, you're talking about process. Well, the process is there. Okay. There's mm-hmm. the cases that are open. Tell me where they are, each one of them.
Yep.
Just be patient.
Yep. And that's what we're doing every Friday.
Yep.
Open pending paperwork and estates yep. and money in motion every Friday.
And you guys just know. You know, one time I had to, my sales assistant was buried. I just said, give me everything back. And I just took everything back from her and I fixed all the issues that she had that she couldn't get done as an FA. And yeah, it cost me a couple of days or a week maybe, but I got everything done and she wasn't buried under a pile of paper. Cause you know, you can't just let people drown. You know, that's not fair, right? So if the situations are out of control, then I would go and lobby again, guys. You gotta lobby again. Just say, hey, this is just untenable. You know, this is just not right. Why can every other firm take retirement accounts and you guys can't take IRAs? What's wrong? Why?
Yeah, it's not the retirement as much as it was the simple. Because the way the simple setup is being a, but I understand what you're saying. You know, it's a business retirement account versus an IRA. They could take the IRA to the Roth. But Melissa, how many estates do we have? Isn't it like?
We have 11. Yeah, I'm looking at our spreadsheet now. We have 11.
I was going to say 12, but
yeah.
Keep track of who's dying and who's closing.
Yes. We have 11 open right now.
That's a nightmare, guys. That's a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yep.
You guys are going to get healthier clients.
Well, Rob was in the business for 30 plus years, so I mean the timing's right, but yeah.
I don't know how many 90-year-olds we have, but we have a lot of 90-year-olds.
Yeah, that's when we were going through, you know, who are we gonna give away if the opportunity, you know, came to light for us, and you know, some of our 90-year-olds, we said, well, we'll just hang on to them.
If we don't have a relationship with the kids at this point, it's almost too late, right? Because those kids are 70, 60, 70, and you know, if we don't have the relationship, the assets aren't staying.
Yeah, that's not, it's not going, the money's not going to you when it's gone. So.
Yeah, and that's the estates that we have open. Unfortunately, Rob didn't have the relationship with the kids. The kids are older, and so we know a lot of them will be taking their accounts out, which will, you know, help relieve a little bit of pressure, but.
Yeah.
We still have to do the work to get them out.
Yeah, we still have to do the work though, yeah.
Well, let's switch subjects if we can for a couple minutes that we have left and just go to the marketing because it's a lot more fun.
Yes, it is.
And just kind of ask what's happening in terms of some of the tools, and I'll just share with you guys a few things that have happened in the last couple of weeks here in terms of of marketing ideas. You know, people are always interested. What are other people doing? What are other people doing? So give me some feedback. What's happening? Centers of influence, niches, mastermind groups, anything along those lines.
I think we've just been trying to play catch up with everything else, Rob. So our niche markets, our centers of influences, you know, that is something that I would think that then we just need to refocus on. Now, Mike and Tom, I don't know if you want to add on to that, but I haven't made it a primary focus.
You know, we do. We have continued to push, you know, Tom, you know, with our, you know, sort of who our choice CPAs are, mm-hmm. Attorneys. You know, we closed it was a bit of a process, but we closed a $2 million line of credit for a client who we, you know, we're going to then be doing a settlement through. The attorney that we referred her to, you know, a couple of years back. So it's kind of good to see that relationship's still going there, you know, if that makes sense, because we thought even initially it might have been a little rocky. Tom had some clients that were interested in a CPA. He talked to our, you know, sort of our preferred CPA. They went back and forth. It ultimately didn't necessarily pan out the way that I think, you know, we expected, or maybe it panned out the way we did expect it to. But we're continuing to do those things. I have a meeting with new client, well, referral, so, you know, from a client, one of our top clients next week, next Wednesday night. We'll see what that sort of brings. So we're still kind of getting referrals. Our money in motion pipeline's still pretty strong. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom's been working through, you know, some relationships over a long period of time, with his networking and with some things in personal to his life that it sounds like, this particular person is going to have a buyout take place of his company, and it's going to become a pretty significant client. If all of that comes through here and, you know, maybe even this calendar year, Tommy, maybe in the next, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's thinking 3.5 in October and 800,000 on each anniversary the next 2 years. So it could be mm-hmm. close to 5 million all in.
Yeah. So, I mean, as Melissa sort of saying, it hasn't, you know, we haven't been in our sort of quote unquote York community doing the things that we used to mm-hmm. do like every month. Like that's really kind of gone along the wayside, but it hasn't necessarily stopped us from still those key people, those you know, who I would consider sort of our, you know, quote unquote mastermind group. You know, we're still connecting, we're still trading business through this, working together for clients. One of our estates that settled earlier in the year, we had referred an estate attorney to them. The one client, the husband died very unexpectedly. This particular gentleman basically, you know, speeded things up, got to the house when he was on his deathbed, got some things done. Now he's working with the widow, you know, talked to the attorney this week about maybe some changes for beneficiaries, those types of things. You know, so we are still, you know, having those sort of touches and those individual conversations. But you know, Melissa's right. We could definitely spend more time on it. But we haven't completely abandoned it, you know, whatsoever, because it is the lifeblood of this business. You know, so we do have some good things as it relates to all of that. Mm-hmm. But it, obviously we could continue to get better at it too.
Yeah, here's the key. You guys know this 'cause you're good at it. All right. The thing I hate about all this is that you're a great team. And, you know, if it was a magic wand, I could get rid of all those clients and free up your time from all those problems. You could go back to growing. And mm-hmm. you're growing, but you're probably, with the people dying and money distributed, you're probably not where you want to be, or could be. Let me put it that way. You may be where you want to be, but you
right. I think that does frustrate us at times. You know?
Yeah, and I'm taking a peek here at our current money in motion, and it does look like we have $14 million that we are working on. But like you said, Rob, I mean, there is money going out the door at the same time.
Full focus away. Yeah.
Yeah. So
just for curiosity, I looked it up. We have 25 clients that are 90 or older, and one of them includes somebody who's 102. And the 102-year-old, we know for a fact we're not keeping those assets. So there's 25 potential estates coming at any minute.
Yep.
How much does a 102-year-old have?
Not a lot. She's down to $186,000 because of level of care. The family's been starting to draw money out. I did sit down with her daughter and son-in-law, and he was the kind of guy, this was 4 or 5 years ago, he's the kind of guy who just says, why do everything on my own? And, you know, I brought up the idea of like, well, you know, if you're comfortable doing everything on your own, maybe you should go ahead and take this and mm-hmm. do everything on your own. And they're like, well, we'll do that someday, but, you know, we're just going to let it as is now. We want to be status quo. Right. Well, there's 186,000 sitting in there that we know maybe this is going to be an easy one. When she passes, we know exactly where it's going.
Yeah, but so, you have attempted over the past 5 years to get in contact with the family again multiple times.
Yeah.
So it's not
yeah.
like there hasn't yeah. been any point of contact, but they just don't respond. So
and they respond and say, hey, everything's fine. Just keep it as
yeah.
is. You know, Frank will
That's
let you know
if we're
making
like,
changes.
There's no,
and,
like,
yeah,
traction.
On and on.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a guy who knows everything and wants to do it on his own.
Yeah. I always like to say, that's great. here's what I referred somebody to a doctor. He was from York, actually. And, he was a neighbor on Boca Grande, and he came to me and said, you know, I need some help. So I referred him to three different people and ended up choosing one of them. But I met with him at the end, and he said, you know, Rob, I think I could do this myself. But I said to him, well, yeah, that's great. But can Nedra, his wife? And he said, oh, wow, you're right. She couldn't. I said, so it's worth it to hire a team to take care of you guys so that when you're not here, it's a smooth and seamless transition. And so he did it. I always love that. When somebody says, oh, I do it myself, I said, yeah, well, what happens when you're not here?
Yeah.
Who's going to take care of that then? Is your wife? She's good at this? No, she has no interest, zero, right? And so what's going to happen? Don't you think it makes sense? You do a lot of other planning. Why wouldn't you this be part of your planning? Mm-hmm. So I would not tolerate that answer. Okay? I think it's irresponsible on the part of the client.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's how some of the clients that we do get to bring in, they've gotten to a point, and we have one guy that we have about half of his assets completely consolidated, and we're slowly working on bringing the rest in. He's even saying, hey, I used to enjoy doing this, and it's not fun anymore. And if something happened to me, there's no way my wife could do this. And so they see mm-hmm. that we got to bring these together. Those folks, I'm not sure what they have held away from us either, but, you know, at the time, 3-4 years ago when he was pushing and said, hey, sounds like you got it all figured out, buddy.
Right.
Let me know.
I mean, when, you know, when somebody is sick, they say, get your affairs in order.
Right.
The point of that is don't be a burden on your wife, right? Have your act together, do your planning so that this is a seamless transition for her or him, whichever, right? It's traumatic enough losing a loved one without having to go through the hell of everything being a mess, cleaning out closets, you know, it's just a mess, just poor planning. It's not, who the heck wants to end this life with people looking at your life being a total mess? To me, it's part of, you know, my legacy is that I kind of looked after things. I took care of things. And so to me, I would love somebody to tell me that. Look them right in the eye, you know, and nail them. Cause I just think it's wrong to leave. It's like leaving without a will.
I mean, right.
It's just like, well, I don't care what happens after I'm gone. Why would I care? What do you mean? These are the people you love. Your negligence will affect their life for years. Years. Is that what you really want to leave? I mean, don't you care about them now? Well, maybe he doesn't. Then you get rid of them. You don't want that person. Because that's just a rude person. But anyway, it's just the way I feel about it. I mean, my...
we have one of those. One of the people that we talked about earlier. And that's, you know, yes, we're trying to get rid of them.
Well, they're just idiots. You know, they're just not...
Yep.
Nice human beings, you know, it's like, wait a minute. We used to say, you know, have a sign up, no jerks allowed, you know. It's just, you don't want them in your mastermind group. You don't want them in your enthusiastically endorsed group. You don't want them anywhere in your practice or around your practice. You don't want to refer them in or out or there are plenty of good human beings in the world. So I'll leave you with this. We get to and I may have shared this with you guys because you know it, but it's, you know, periodically I learn from you guys, right? And one of the things I've learned is that this idea of building a mastermind group or building your centers of influence or building your niches is totally dependent on your ability to make friends. The people that do this well are people that make friends. They turn their clients into friends and their friends into clients. And their centers of influence are friends. And their mastermind group is a group of their closest friends. They may not start out that way, but they become that. So these are the people that you look forward to calling, that you look forward to meeting with, and that you would mind spending a couple of hours with them. And even if you can't be with them, you know, individually in person, you look forward to meeting with them on Zoom call. And you have things in common. You all went to high school together. You went to college together. You're all triathletes. You all play tennis. You all play golf. You have something that beyond the business that brings you together. You're all Christians. You all belong to the same church. You all do yoga together. You all meditate together. There's something that brings you together that is beyond the business. And you're really good at what you do, and they're good at what they do. But the friendship is the key. And that it's in my chapter, and Elise Quinn talks about the fact that her mastermind group became her best friends. And they reach out when somebody gets sick, when somebody has breast cancer. They all come together to help that person and hold their hand through the whole thing. And she said those people have become her best friends. So it's a wonderful thing, and it kind of helps me to coach people to get to this place where they'll do this. So otherwise, I don't think most people aren't really willing to create these mastermind groups unless they see that it would be with some of their best friends. So does that spark any comments or thoughts or?
No, I think that's very true. I agree with that. Yeah. And well, sometimes your friends or the people that you become friendly with may not be at a place that they become great clients, but they're invaluable to introducing you to people that are.
Yeah.
And when a friend gives a referral of you, You know, it's not just, well, he, you know, I like him or he's a nice guy. It's known him for X number of years. You know, they tell the referral more about you. They, you know, paint the picture and they give a referral without trying to give a referral, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. They care about the outcome. They care about the outcome for both of you.
Correct. Correct. Agreed.
Yeah, I had a guy give me a referral and it didn't work out. And it was really kind of, this was an FA giving me another FA, right? And it didn't work out because he just wasn't in the right position at that time. He said, I really want you to call him again and see where he is. I said, okay, I will. See, he wants me to coach this guy so much that he wants me to follow up, which I'm happy to do, but I probably wouldn't. I'd wait for the other guy to call me because I'm busy and I, you know, I like having free time and I coach, but I don't need it. So I, you know, it's kind of like I'm in a good place, right? But so I'm not chasing people for business. But because this guy referred me to him and I love this guy, then I'll go ahead and follow up. Because the other guy was a good guy too. That's the interesting thing. Good guys refer you to good guys. They don't refer you to jerks.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
share that, you know, there was this. And the other thing that makes it easier, you know, you say do 12-4-2s with your centers of influence and do your same with your mastermind group and your niches. People won't do that unless they're friends with the people. And what do you do to be a good friend? The number one thing is you stay in touch. Just like being a good FA. Number one thing is contact. So the number one thing to be a good friend is to call. Just periodically drop in, you know, and reconnect. And so that's where the 12-4-2 comes in. So you just kind of put that into your computer and let it marinate a little bit and see if that, you know, do you have your centers of influence in your scheduler? And if not, why not? Because you need to remember to call them. Because if you call them, they'll refer you business. If you don't, they won't.
Right.
Okay. So maybe that's the project for the month is to take your centers of influence and put them into your scheduler and make an appointment rather than just a nothing. Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Good idea.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right.
Thanks, Rob.
See you next time.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Talk to you guys later. Bye. Thanks. See you.